Hawks. Go, 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 go.
Let's go, 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 White Sox. Chicago is proud of you.
This is White Sox Weekly, the Chicago baseball conversation on the new flagship home of the Sox, 720 WGN.
720 WGN White Sox Weekly with you till 9 o'clock. Great to see you, Harry Tynowitz. Great to have Omar Vizquel on the program. Great to be able to talk to Paul Sullivan. Great to talk to Frankie O. Great to have Dan Long producing. Great to only have one more game with the Houston Astros. I'm in a great mood, Harry.
And, well, you should be in a great mood, Carm, because we know what the deal is. We know what the situation is. There were no false promises. This is not like some marriages. This is what we thought the White Sox would be. We thought the White Sox were going to rebuild. You can't start rebuilding a hotel if you're like 10 floors up. You got to tear it all down and then bring it back up. And the Astros would be a fantastic example of how you do that.
Well, I think that is the earliest reference in any show that we've ever done to married life 10 seconds in. So congratulations on that. That was awesome.
Thank you. I tried thinking about baseball to make it last longer, but it just didn't.
Okay, let me go 2011, Harry.
Yes, what was happening in 2011?
In 2011, the Houston Astros, who won the World Series last year, went 56-106. 56 wins, 106 losses. They finished 37 and a half games out.
Brutal. That's like a 33 winning percentage.
Yeah, that's 3-4-6, and that was when they were in the NL Central.
Mm-hmm.
They were in the NL Central the next year. They also finished last. 55 wins and 107.
Then came 2013, and they went Americano.
It's nearly impossible to go from 56 wins and then to lose more games, win less the next year. But the Astros did it in 2012. Now, you would think in 2013 they would definitely take some form of a step forward. 51. And
it got worse.
51-111. Now we're down to a 315 winning percentage, and they finished 45 games back in the AL West.
This team isn't going anywhere, obviously.
Right. So then they had a big jump up as far as, you know, 19 more wins in 2014 to 70-92. Then in 2015, they won 86 games, improved less by sheer numbers. 51-70 is 19, 70-86 is 16, and they won the American League wild card. They beat the Yankees. And then they went to the ALDS and lost to the Royals in an incredible series, which they had Kansas City.
Yes, they did.
Beat. They lost in that series 3-2. And then they come back the next year, beat the Red Sox in the DS 3-1, beat the Yankees in the CS 4-3. And then they beat an incredible World Series last year. People remember they beat the Dodgers in 7. Everybody thought the Los Angeles Dodgers was winning that series. They killed the Cubs in the NLCS. It was LA's year. They were spending a gazillion dollars. They had everything rolling for them. And the Astros beat them in an incredible series. So it's just that is from 2011, which was a 6-year process. Two back-to-back years in the play. Well, not, I'm sorry. I jumped a year. In 2016, they went 84-78 and missed the playoffs. So they went to the playoffs in 15, 4 years, the fifth year into the rebuild, and then they win the World Series in 17.
Yeah, and you know, Bregman, who was the World Series, a World Series hero, high draft pick from LSU, the shortstop.
Carlos Correa.
Correa, big World Series hero, another high draft pick. They did such a good job bringing in Springer, bringing in the MVP of the league, Jose Altuve. They have a fantastic pitching staff, to which they add Verlander last year down the stretch. This year they've added Gerrit Cole. I mean, the Sox are, you know, the Sox are facing not only one of the best hitting clubs in baseball, but one of the best starting staffs in baseball this weekend.
Yeah. And I look, they in game one of the series, they were right there, should have had the game.
Yeah, up a run going in the ninth. Yeah. And Soria hadn't been beaten in, what, 6 weeks?
It was a long time, and, you know, they got to Soria that night. But I thought that Carlos Rodon, you know, pitched well in that game, which was a good sign. You know, if you have to, like, pick out, I think, I don't want to be Pollyanna over here, but I think you do have to look at key things like here's Rodon coming back from shoulder surgery. Is he okay? That really matters a lot more than winning a baseball game today or even winning the game on Thursday night. And Rodon, I mean, he walked too many guys, four of them, but he was, overall, it was, I thought, a pretty good outing.
Well, I think Pollyanna, to me, means like, hey, if we don't do anything, you know, the White Sox are just going to one day wake up and they'll be in first place. I think what you're doing now when you talk about Carlos Rodon coming back from his long rehab is you're looking for positives. You know, in a season where there's been way too many losses, as they say in Slapshot, yeah, we got a lot of losses, there have been, you know, not enough things to be excited about. And some starting pitchers that I thought would be fantastic, they have taken steps backwards. But yeah, Rodon looks like he's going to be all right.
Well, yeah, I mean, still need to see more, but moving in, I think, the right direction. The White Sox now are 30-59. That's a winning percentage of .337. So, they did teach math at the University of Iowa, Harry.
Mm-hmm.
And if you take 162 times .337...
Look at you.
What do you think?
Why is there smoke coming out of your ears?
It's unbelievable. What do you think you get? How many wins are the White Sox on pace for?
Oh, I'd say they're on pace for about, what, about 57?
They're on pace for 54.594 wins. So let's round that up, benefit of the doubt. That's a 55-win season, 107 losses. That is the 2012 Houston Astros.
Not bad.
So it's all part of the grand plan here. That's my point of the opening segment here.
And with the addition of Gerrit Cole this year, you're looking at Verlander, Charlie Morton, Gerrit Cole. I mean, the guy pitching tomorrow, Dallas Keuchel, is a former Cy Young winner. And he's, at best, their fourth starter.
Plus their offense, which...
Their offense, which is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Every guy... I mean, Gattis looks like he could pick up a truck.
Yeah. I mean, Houston... I don't know how long they're going to be at the top of the mountain here, but I think it's going to be a little while longer. Hey, join us on Saturday, July 14th. That's this coming Saturday, a week from today, as the Sox take on the Royals at 1:10 p.m. It's the 93 reunion featuring Ozzy, Bo, Reigns, and more. Love Bo Jackson coming out. Love Tim Raines coming out. Always love seeing Ozzy Guillen. The first 20,000 fans will take home a commemorative 93 authentic fan pennant. It's presented by NBC Sports Chicago. You can purchase your tickets today by visiting whitesox.com or calling 866-SOX-GAME. Once again, 866-SOX-GAME.
Family Sundays feature tickets as low as $5 in the upper level, $15 in the lower level, and parking for only $10. Plus, special family-focused activities located throughout the ballpark. Family Sundays are proudly presented by Coca-Cola. Coca-Cola, taste the feeling. Visit whitesox.com/Sundays to purchase your tickets today.
Lucas Giolito starts tomorrow. We're going to talk about the big young right-hander coming on back here. White Sox Weekly with you till 9. Going to have Paul Sullivan on the show from your Chicago Tribune, who's down in Houston covering the Sox this weekend. We'll talk to Sully hopefully a little bit after 7:30 as well. And again, Omar Vizquel, one of the greatest shortstops to ever play this game, who's now the manager for the Sox at Winston-Salem, is going to be on the show a little bit after 8 o'clock.
Yeah, it's a trivia question. Last guy to wear 11 on the White Sox.
And Louis Aparicio wanted him to wear it.
Yeah.
Right?
Family said, go ahead and wear it.
Yeah. So, do you know how many hits Omar Vizquel had in his career?
7,000 hits.
Not 7,000, but he had nearly, over 2,800 hits.
not too bad.
I mean, you're right at three, you know, he played into his mid-40s, but you're talking about a guy who was known for his defense. He's gotten... 9 gold gloves.
Yeah, I was going to say, add the gold gloves in there with him. There can't be a second baseman that put in 9 gold gloves.
Shortstop
put in 9 gold. What do I call him? A second baseman? What a moron. Omar Vizquel and also his other buddy who played for the White Sox, but you think of him as an Indian also, Sandy Alomar is another guy that figures to be a big league manager. And, you know, what a great guy to have guiding your young talent. Of course, at that level, he's also the third base coach. And the players talk about how there's no way they're going to let this old man have more energy than they have. So, I mean, he doesn't lead by, you know, talking the talk. He walks the walk.
I really think that Omar's going to be a major league manager someday, with the White Sox, maybe not, somewhere. And by the way, speaking of, would you use the word moron?
Mm-hmm.
I shorted Omar. I didn't mean to do that. I apologize to Omar and the Vizquel family. 11 gold gloves, not 9. So I thought I was 11, but I said 9, and then I just double-checked my facts, and I was wrong, Harry. I come clean on the show.
Well, it happens. I had the guy in the wrong position momentarily, so you should feel glad that I'm on the show with you.
I do. 1 second baseman, one shorting of two goals. I think he's still going to come on the show after 8. I'm pretty confident that he'll be here.
I would hope so. You're not going to bring up any incident with an umpire, are you?
Incident? No, I'm not going to do
okay,
that.
Good idea.
Yeah, we'll leave that one alone. All right, coming on back, let's talk some Lucas Giolito. White Sox fans, if you want to jump in here, where are you at watching the team? What's it like seeing the Houston Astros up close? And are you? I just want to know if you're hanging in there. How's it feeling right now? We'd love to hear from you. 312-981-7200. That is the phone number. White Sox Weekly, 720 WGN. White Sox Weekly, 720 WGN, the White Sox Radio Network. Mark Harmon here with Harry Tynowitz. Yes.
I feel like James Shields out here. I just offered up another mistake. I was talking about Sandy Alomar and Omar Vizquel, and I transposed Robbie Alomar's spitting at the umpire, blaming it on Omar, who would never do such a thing.
I thought you were referencing that, but I wasn't 100% certain, so I sort of...
Oh, call me out, please.
I didn't jump you. I should have. That's on me as well. We're a team, Harry. We walk down radio row arm in arm. That's how we do it on White Sox Weekly. Damn it.
We win as a team, and we fail miserably as a team.
Unlike other radio shows who point the fingers...
We point the thumbs.
We thumb it up right at ourselves and right at each other. When things don't go well in the show, we're all in on it.
Yes, and when things go very well, we're like soccer players. We rip off our shirts and we slide on our knees across the studio.
So Lucas Giolito starts tomorrow. We'll get to your White Sox phone calls in 1 second here. 312-981-7200. Giolito on the year now. 17 starts, 89 and two-thirds innings, 91 hit. That's not terrible. It's not great, but it's not terrible. The walks is the killer. 54 walks on the year, which is leading the club significantly. You know, I was talking with a scout, Harry, about the way his delivery and how it's not that easy for him to repeat it consistently, which is why he doesn't find the strike zone as often as you would like him to. So, for me, it all starts with Lucas Giolito as throwing strikes more often. Tomorrow is a heck of an opportunity for him. I just want to, you know, when you look at the rebuild, guys that are key, Lucas Giolito is one of them, and seeing him with an ERA up near 7 is concerning, but more concerning to me than anything else is he's got to be able to throw the ball over the plate. That you can't do anything if you can't.
He's, yeah, I mean, he was so good at the end of last year. My memories of Lucas Giolito, I was out there on a Sunday afternoon with the family.
Phenomenal in September.
Yeah, and he just, I mean, he handcuffed the Royals. And I believe it was the Royals, could have been the Twinkies. And Giolito was just looking so good. And then the season started, and he's taking a step back. It's the walks. I mean, you got, you know, most of the season he's been leading the American League in walks.
Right. And, you know, we're speaking the truth here on White Sox Weekly. We know, the experts that we are, too many walks for a pitcher is a bad thing.
Just you can ask the guy who started the game on the north side of town today about that.
Tyler Chetwood was getting booed. Cub fans are a little frustrated over there with Tyler. All right, hey, let's bring in John in Riverside, what he's focusing on in the rebuild. 312-981-7200. Happy to talk with you. John, what's up? Welcome to the program. Thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Mark and Harry, how are you?
We're good.
Hey, you guys do a terrific job with this show and really trying to like lay out a perspective of what you know, Sox fans should be looking at, and always enjoy it every Saturday. But, you know, I think, you know, wins and losses, you know, don't matter right now. And the big thing is obviously focusing on who are the players that are going to matter down the line and how are they progressing. And we might not even know. I mean, obviously the Mankatas of the world, you know, are really important to this. And it's been good to see him really have a good couple weeks here and have some big hits and some really good at-bats because he was struggling for a while. But, you know, even Tim Anderson, I mean, today, you know, getting his 21st stolen base and just being a little bit more interesting on the base paths and seeing him be a little bit more selective at the plate. I mean, it's those sort of things that you kind of need to watch in that progression. And, you know, there was even a stat on the TV side today, you know, after Avi Garcia hit the home run, you know, showing how the percentage of strikes that he swings at now is so much higher than it was, you know, in 2015. And there's progression there. And yeah, and it takes time and it's frustrating sometimes. And everybody just wants to see people come up and dominate. But, you know, it usually doesn't work like that. And there's some guys that's going to happen and there's some guys that it won't. But, you know, just kind of watching individuals, you know, develop and see where that goes. I mean, you guys bring up Giolito and yeah, it's been a disappointing year for him because last September, I mean, he looked unhittable, and even in spring training, he looked terrific. And, you know, and obviously he's had issues with control, but just, you know, trying to harness that. And, I still think he can be a really good pitcher. It's watching those guys that really going to be a big part of this in a couple of years. And
hey John,
you know,
we're up against the news here, so I got to cut you off. But I think you just did a great job talking to us and talking to yourself and talking to White Sox fans. Just bringing some calm to the process here. Do you feel better?
Oh, absolutely. And the team's going to be fine. It's going to take some time.
All right, are you a season ticket holder, John?
No, I'm not.
Okay. You go out to the park at all?
Yeah, I go out several times a year.
Okay.
Yeah.
You let us know here at 720 WGN somehow when you're out there, John. I want to meet a fan of the diehard level of you. You're in there. It's awesome to see.
Would love to, guys. Would love to.
All right.
You guys do a great job. Thank you.
John. Appreciate it.
Go on. Thanks, Uncle John. You know, the White Sox, who do you want to switch places with? I mean, do you want to be Toronto 41 and 47 and only be six games under 500? The White Sox have to have this record in order to get to where they want to be in 2020 or 2021.
We can run down what's going on in the minors as far as where you want to be organization-wise. There's certainly plenty of
that's where the standings get flipped.
Yeah, plenty of evidence to back up what you just said. All right, quick timeout. We'll get you into news. And, hey, hang in there, Sox fans. We'd love to talk to you quickly after the news here. 720 WGN, White Sox Weekly.
At the wall, the 380, gone. A three-run homer for Tim Anderson. 3-1 White Sox.
Back to White Sox Weekly on 720 WGN.
Thanks for the pizza today, Ed Farmer. Very nice of you. Farmio asked the crew back at the station, Harry, hey, you guys hungry? Can I send you a pizza? Pays for it out of his own pocket. There's not a lot of guys that do that in this business, and that's not saying anything about the other guys. It's just more of a credit to Farmer. He's a very solid Ed Farmer.
Don't surprise me none. I've known the man since 1995, and he has always looked out. You know what? It's weird, Carm, but everybody here he thinks of as a teammate.
It's pretty cool. I'm a big Ed Farmer.
Farmio and DJ, they got all the action. And after Andy Mazur's pregame at 12:35 tomorrow, Farmio and DJ have the White Sox salvaging a game at 1:10, followed by a Mark Carmen postgame show.
It's going to be hot. Hey, come see your Chicago White Sox take on the Kansas City Royals Friday, July 13th. That's this coming Friday, 7:10 p.m., your first pitch. All fans are invited to stay for the post-game fireworks show. It's presented by the Village of Bedford Park. You bring your business home with the Village of Bedford Park, and you win big. Purchase tickets today by visiting whitesox.com or calling 866-SOX-GAME.
New Bleachers and Brews dates have been announced. Get one bleacher seat and two beers for just $22. Must be 21 and over with a valid ID. Bleachers and Brews is presented by Budweiser. To purchase tickets, visit whitesox.com/brews.
312-981-7200. White Sox fans, we are checking in with you right now. Normally we have a guest-intensive show, but we're guest-free for right now. Paul Sullivan still writing feverishly away with the long game. So we're checking in with you on how you're feeling about the rebuild. Anything concerning, anything you want to celebrate, it's out there for you. And just bringing up different guys as well. Avi Garcia, for me, is very interesting. One more year of control after this season. Coming back playing red-hot baseball right now. I don't know what Avi's worth on the market at the deadline. I don't think it's a ton. Maybe if you package him with James Shields, that adds on. Maybe if you package him with Joaquin Soria in a three-person deal, maybe you get somebody that would be of interest to Rick Hahn.
Kind of like what they did with the Yankees last year.
Right, when they sent David Robertson and Tommy Canley.
Todd Frazier.
And they ended up getting Blake Rutherford, who's back on the field after falling over the wall earlier in the week.
Ooh.
He's okay. He's good. All right, let's bring some of you in here. 312-981-7200. Jim in the car, you've been waiting the longest. Welcome to White Sox Weekly. Go ahead, man.
Hey, how you doing? Was listening to your show before, and I had a couple of comments. First of all, I'm a diehard Sox fan. Have been since the womb. And I'm really happy to see the rebuild. It's a shame that they're not working the guys more on defense, because I think the Sox have maybe the second worst defense in all of the majors.
Which is hard to believe, which is really hard to believe. And Carm just mentioned Avi Garcia. He's been terrific with the bat, but a brutal play last night, and you can't catch the ball. This is a team that has real problems just catching the ball. And Moncada makes great plays and then blows the easy ones.
Yep. And, you know, and you were talking about Giolito. And I watched him the end of last year, and he was in such a groove. And I think this year I've been watching him every single time he pitched. And I think that, you know, I can't get inside the kid's head, but I think he's messing with his mechanics way too much. I think he's become a head case for himself. He seems to be changing his mechanics all the time, and I think if he just got back to the fundamentals that he had last year and quit, you know, trying to outthink himself, he'd be much better because he was finding the strike zone all the time last year. And this year he gets into a little bit of a problem, and suddenly you see him trying to tweak things while he's on the field. And that's a killer for a pitcher.
Jim, you make some great points here, and appreciate the phone call. First, and you can respond. Before, he's searching because he's not throwing strikes. And, I mean, I think that's what you see on the mound. And I think part of Giolito's challenge is to deal with the fact that he's a very intelligent, introspective guy. So he is perhaps at times going to overthink things. That's going to be a process for him, which he is still, I think, figuring out at the big league level. And as far as the errors are concerned, I mean, it's not just errors, because balls fall that you don't get to that should be caught. We've seen that a bunch too. But the White Sox do lead the American League in errors with 67, which is not a category obviously you want to be leading anything in, and they're second in the majors. The St. Louis Cardinals have the most, so the defense has been a thing. And for me, it's more, to be honest, Jim, it's more the lack of focus at times. Like if you make an error, you make an error. But if you make an error where you look like you're not actually paying attention to the game, that's to me is more troubling. And we've seen that at times with Yoan Moncada. And we've seen that at times with decision making as far as where they're throwing the baseball. So that needs to get better, there's no doubt.
Giolito, I think, is going to be all right. I mean, as I look at all these starters that they have in minor leagues, there's, you know, reason to believe Carson Fulmer will not get to be in this rotation again. And we both like Carson Fulmer a lot.
He got ripped last night at AAA.
I saw. And you got Dylan Cease had another really solid outing, you know. So, I mean, there's...
I think, who knows what the future will bring, but I think Carson being a 7th, 8th inning guy, there is absolutely nothing wrong with
that. No, nothing wrong with that. You're in the bigs, and you're helping your team get to the playoffs. There's nothing wrong with that at all. But I think Giolito is going to end up in the starting rotation, going to the hill every 5 days, and he just needs to get back to where he was in September. He's got some really solid stuff coming off the mound, and it's, you know, young pitchers, we talked about before, young pitchers have so many problems that just as soon as they get fixed, they're solid. I think, you know, in the case of a, Carson Fulmer, he's got several things he needs to work on, but I think Giolito, he's going to be strong.
312-981-7200. Jim on the South Side, you are on White Sox Weekly, 720 WGN. What's going on, Jim?
Hey, Harry, just what you were saying about Carson Fulmer, you guys, I think, I don't want to throw a monkey in the wrench or anything, but 13 and 14, the reason you guys have Carlos Rodon and Carson Palmer is because you were worse than the Chicago Cubs that year. You drafted Carlos Rodon and Carson Palmer instead of Schwarber and Ian Happ. That's what puts you in this position. You're looking at this from a different angle. Maybe it's Rick Hahn, Kenny, and the whole White Sox organization that sucks. Maybe we're looking at the players, but you are looking at an organization. They're not coming off of 2 years of rebuilding, 99 losses in 2013. Maybe this team doesn't know what they're doing from the general manager to the manager to Robin Ventura,
Jim,
to Ricky Renteria. Forget about the players. The players suck. The general manager is the problem. I mean, you're looking at Carson Palmer and Carlos Rodon because you lost 99 games with
Jim,
Chris Sale, Todd Frazier, and Abreu.
You got to let us talk.
This is the problem. You guys aren't even a pro.
Oh, time out. Jay, you want to have a conversation? We'll have a conversation. If you want to ramble on, you're going to not be on the air very long.
I gave him an opportunity three times to settle down. And look, there, Jim is a frustrated Sox fan, and that's fine. You're entitled to being like that, Jim. However, let's take a little bit of a reality check. Let's not go all the way back to 2013. Let's go back to when they did the actual reset, when they traded Chris Sale to the Boston Red Sox. When you look at the minor league system right now, objectively, Eloy Jimenez, 313, he's batting. 371 is on base. 541 the slugging. Zach Collins down at double A, coming up as a catcher who they drafted. On base percentage over 400. The list is long. Dylan Cease is 10-2 with an ERA of 2.95. I mean,
we don't know what Berger is yet.
Right. Well, that's a whole other animal. Luis Basabe was also in the Red Sox deal.
He looks terrific.
Is moving up the ladder. I mean, you just have a long line of guys. Luis Robert, who they spend a ton of money on. Omar Vizquel, we'll talk about him. He's got a thumb injury right now, but that's not lucky. At least he didn't blow out his knee. It's a thumb injury. These things heal. There is an enormous amount of talent coming. They've got 9 guys in baseball's top 100.
And Sebi Zavala, did you even say him?
Sebi Zavala is hitting .258 with an on base percentage of .338. Man, he's being promoted.
They wanted pitching. They wanted pitching. That was what they were after. They were after pitching. I don't know why you're already bailing on Carlos Rodon. The jury's out on Carlos Rodon. Okay? He looked damn good at NC State, and I think Carlos Rodon was good the other night. And I don't know why you're ready to throw the book out. You know, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Carlos Rodon is going to be all right. I would not go chucking out a left-hander this early into his career.
312-981-7200. That's the phone number here on White Sox Weekly. We are more than happy to let you talk, but if the idea is to, you know, have a conversation, a little back and forth.
It's not a monologue.
A little interaction.
Right. It's a dialogue, not a monologue.
Right. I get it. People don't know how long they're going to be on, and you want to get as much out in that period. But you also have an opportunity to, we'll sit here and talk. Let's chat.
Right. What the Cubs did, what the other teams do, that's immaterial. It's what the Sox did. It's what the Sox have. That's what we're measuring this on. That's what we're measuring this by. I had a conversation on this station last summer when you were at a wedding with a gentleman who's now making his home in Las Vegas. And think about it, Sammy.
Sam Panionovich, of course.
And Sam said the Sox would never make a deal with the Cubs because they don't want to help the Cubs. And, you know, my response to that was, the Sox don't care about what it does for the other team. They, you know, they'd love to have it help the other team because people want to keep coming back to them. They don't want to make a trade and have some guy be hurt or some guy, you know, is terrible the rest of his career. But the Sox, who they draft, who they trade for, that's what we care about. We don't care about what the other teams do.
It's a lot easier to win trades when you're playing the long game, and that was that's what the Sox were doing when they traded with the Cubs with Quintana. Yes, we're giving up 3 years of control for a left-hander, but I'm going to bank on Eloy Jimenez as going to be a stud, and Rick Hahn looks spot-on correct on that. I'm also going to take a good flyer on Dylan Cease, who throws mid-90s and has had some arm trouble, but seems like he's getting
healthy. Who's headed to the All-Star game.
Right. There's no way, if the Cubs and Sox would go back in time on that trade, there's no way the Cubs make that deal. It helped. Just like the Sox wouldn't make the George Bell deal again.
Right. I can't believe you actually called it the George Bell deal.
They got a guy by the name of Sammy Sosa.
Yeah, right. The Panther. Look.
I loved when Hawk would call him the Panther.
Yeah, Sammy's like, who am I? It's like what he called Warren Newsom the Deacon. Who am I?
I love the Deacon, too.
What the White Sox are doing now is what they have to do. It's what the Astros did. It's what the Cubs did. It's what the Kansas City Royals did. And we've seen it work three times already this decade. This is how you get to the World Series and how you stay there. The Astros, again, look to be as good a team as there is in the American League.
And for the record, I'll use it for the second time on the show, to not be Pollyanna, it may not work. There are no guarantees. All these guys could fall on their face. However, when you have 9 in the top 100, it takes a lot of them to fail. So you don't need them all to hit. You need some of them to hit. That's why it's strength in numbers. And hopefully at the deadline, which is coming up sooner than later at the end of the month, and then you got the waiver deadline at the end of August, they'll add on another piece who they'll bet on. And maybe that person will be or more than one person will be a part of the rebuild as well. You just keep on adding on. And they're going to have another high draft pick next year. Maybe number one overall. We'll see. It's going to be in the top five, top
boy,
three.
Boy, Baltimore, and Baltimore's going to trade Machado. It's going to be awfully hard to
that's a good point. Okay, so
take Baltimore.
Number two. Where are we sitting? Right? And the Royals have a worse record than the Sox right now, too. Whatever. They'll be in the top five. It's not bad.
No, it's not bad at all. And there's like this year when they went fourth and they got probably the best college player there was. There's supposed to be a fairly a decent number of players that'll be moving out in the top five picks of the draft next season.
312-981-7200 White Sox Weekly coming up. After 8 o'clock, we're going to hear from Paul Sullivan on the show. We're going to have Frankie O on the show. We're going to get Omar Vizquel on the show. But right now it's Gary in Rogers Park. What's up, Gary?
Hey, guys. I like your show. You guys are great on WGN. Keep up the good work. I like White Sox Weekly. I think, with Jimenez, they shouldn't rush him because, it may be for selfish reasons so we can get another year out of him.
Right.
And, Makata still seems to be struggling. He doesn't seem to be there yet, So, and I just hope that Avisail Garcia, if he does well, Shields is doing pretty good. They could trade him and get something, maybe not a top of the line, but maybe a utility guy. I just called in whatever you guys think. I just wanted.
Yeah, no, Gary, we appreciate it.
You're going to be able to move James Shields, and I was surprised that he was still out there today. Carm, let me ask you a question.
James Shields not worth much, Harry.
I didn't say he's worth much. That's my point. Somebody will look at him and say he is better than our fifth starter.
Yes.
Okay.
That's it.
Right. He's an opening day starter for the White Sox. For another team, he's a fifth starter.
That's correct.
You're gonna trade James Shields. Okay, you might have to eat some contract.
Yeah, but you're going to get
Yeah, you're
somebody,
not getting a top line guy. You're not getting what you got back for Sale or Eaton or for Quintana.
I don't even think you're getting a mid-level guy. You're getting a guy who has fallen out of favor in the minors who the White Sox look at and think they can fix. That's the type of guy you'll get.
You'll get more for Soria.
And I think I really think that we could see a package happen. Because teams are always looking for a reliever, and maybe that team will also take a flyer on James Shields. And to his point about Aloy real fast, don't worry about him rushing him right now. The guy's got a strained left abductor muscle. If you missed that story, he's out for at least 2 weeks here. So that slows down the process organically, if you will.
Right. I mean, I think the guy that's going to come up is Kopech. Kopech, his walks are way too high, but there's a reason to get Michael Kopech up here. Let him taste the big leagues.
I don't see that at all.
You don't see Kopech being up here in September?
I mean, I did, but he's walking. He walks at least over five guys every other start.
So
I wouldn't rush
you're
him
waiting,
up here.
You're waiting.
You got to earn your way.
Okay, you're gonna trade James Shields. What are you gonna do? You're gonna bring Fulmer back to be the starter?
I don't care who you bring up. Bring Donnie Roach. Bring him back from Japan. He's 28 years old.
Donnie Roach.
It doesn't matter. To me, it's about the player at that point. It's not about who we need a starter. You're coming up here. I'm bringing him up when he's ready. Let him figure it out. Maybe it'll be him if he gets hot, but I have no problem with him pitching the entire season to AAA. Hey, we do need to pay the bills here real quick. Coming on back, 720 WGN White Sox Weekly. 7:54, White Sox Weekly, 720 WGN, the White Sox Radio Network. I'm Mark Carmen. He's Harry Tynowitz. Great to have you on board on a beautiful Saturday evening. What a day today, Harry. Started out myself. I'm sure you were doing the same thing when I was on the tennis court, taking care of business. 6-0, 6-2 in the Shoreline League. Harry,
were you playing in England?
I was not at Wimbledon. Someday, you know, my beautiful girlfriend Chelsea. She's
as opposed to your ugly girlfriend.
Why do I get to get called out for saying the word beautiful? Isn't it?
You say it as if, hey, I got a bunch of girlfriends. Now my beautiful one, her name is Chelsea.
Okay, that's how you're hearing it.
My
okay.
ugly one, his name is Roscoe.
It's really an unfair jump on me, but that's fine. Love you. It's the point is that she's got the tennis bug, so she asked me today. She's like, "Do you, if I really continue to
she
do,
can call Orkin?
Can I really continue to do this? Can I be a professional?" I'm like, "Are you
professional?
Is that a real? You think you want to go play at Wimbledon? She wants to go play at Wimbledon. Never say die in life, Harry. Is my point.
I bet she looks great in those tennis dresses.
She hasn't gotten any tennis dresses yet. She wears normal." You know, shorts, that type of stuff. All right, let's move along to things that matter. That's enough tennis talk. The text question is always sponsored by CJ Wilson Mazda and ZoomZoomNation.com, where they're always trying to make your car shopping fun. Our text question tonight brought to you by Harry Tynowitz as well. What do you got?
Well, I found out, I follow on Twitter Roger Badish, and he explained to me about shortly after midnight that today is Tell the Truth Day. So, the best truth you can tell about the White Sox. That's what we're looking for. Text us the best truth you can tell about the Chicago White Sox.
Wow, the best truth.
Mm-hmm.
Looking for some like real vulnerability here? Is that what you're going after?
I'm looking for, it could be tongue-in-cheek. It could be brutally honest. It could be hilarious. I'm looking for the best truth you can tell.
See, when I hear truth, I don't hear tongue-in-cheek. I want some realness.
Okay.
I want somebody writing.
Like, best, for example, best truth for me is the tastiest treat I can buy at Guaranteed Rate Field is the roast beef sandwich.
That's a deep truth right there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you really went there.
Yes.
Is that a horseradish sauce or what do you got?
Oh, ketchup, baby.
You got a weird thing going on with ketchup.
Ketchup is so good.
You put ketchup on. Harry Tynowitz puts ketchup on his Italian beef.
I put ketchup on my ketchup. Yeah, of course I put ketchup on Italian beef. It's that, beef.
That's so much more sacrilegious than putting ketchup on an Italian beef is worse than putting ketchup on a hot dog.
It's dipped. It starts out dipped. The bread is dipped. The beef
that's
is dipped.
Not meant
and then
to
the ketchup comes with it. Yes, it is.
Does that make you, I'd like to add on to the text question of the week, does that make you like Harry or respect Harry less because he puts ketchup on an Italian beef? Or am I being unfair by judging people by how they eat?
You're assuming that they liked me to start out with. Now, it is July 7th, Carm, 7-7. I was thinking about asking who's your all-time favorite White Sox that wore number 7.
All right, throw that one out there, too.
But, you know, I think we all know the answer to that.
Well, that's fine. Let me make people remember. Their past. That's a beautiful thing. All right, quick timeout. News is next, and then we will check in with a special guest right after the 8 o'clock news. 720 WGN, White Sox Weekly.
Wow, what a play!
720 WGN, the team's flagship radio station.
You're listening to White Sox Weekly on the home of the Sox, 720 WGN.
White Sox Weekly, till 9 o'clock, Mark Carmen, Harry Tynowitz. We have a major breaking deal.
It involves Jerry Reinsdorf's team.
Yes, but not his baseball team. The Chicago Bulls, who Jerry won 6 NBA World Championships with, they have traded Jerry and Grant.
And there's some big names involved in this trade.
Jerry and Grant has been traded. Jerry and Grant has been traded. He is headed in a three-way deal with Charlotte and Orlando. He's going to land in Orlando. And the Bulls are getting Julian Stone from the Hornets. And if you don't know who Julian Stone is, you are not alone.
He is Steve's nephew.
He is not Steve's nephew. He started his NBA career with the Nuggets in 2011. He was out of the league in 14, 15, and 16. He was back in the league with the Hornets last year.
He was a minor.
He averaged 0.8 points per game. His contract is non-guaranteed.
UTEP minor.
Yes, he's a UTEP minor. There you go. Paul Sullivan, never been traded, always consistent, a Hall of Famer. Your writer for the Chicago Tribune. He knows everything about baseball, and he's down in Houston this weekend with the White Sox. Sully, always good to talk to you, my friend. Welcome to the show.
Oh, thanks for having me. What's going on? besides Jerry and Grant. Stunning news.
I thought you...
Stunning news.
I wanted to tell people that, but really I just thought that you didn't know, so and I knew you were on hold, so I figured I'd break you the news that Jerry and Grant is gone. Hey,
I did not know.
Let's get a couple takeaways just from today's game, Sully, as far as James Shields giving up more than he wanted to, not making it through six, which he's been doing very consistently. Do you think this has any impact on James Shields' trade value moving forward?
I don't know. I mean, it was, I think, his highest runs given up and 10 hits. So it wasn't a really good performance. He wasn't too dissatisfied with it. Basically said that the three-run homer to Gattis was kind of a fly ball into the, you know, they got that short porch there at left field. And
Gurriel.
I think he, or was it Gurriel?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Close enough, though. We got it. Right, that short porch and right, the Crawford boxes. I mean,
Yeah. And then the one to Bregman later on was kind of the same thing. So, you know, he was tired by then. Probably might not have gone out that inning, but
Maturia
trying to save the bullpen a little bit. And, you know, that's what happens.
I'm a little surprised he brought him back out there after they got the fourth spot, because you do want to keep his trade value up there. And, you know, I thought that only bad things could happen. We were just talking about trade value on this team. Now, Shields was the Sox opening day starter. We just need another team in baseball to think he's better than their fifth starter. But Joaquin Soria, Avi Garcia, do you see them changing zip codes in the next couple weeks here?
Soria, for sure. I would say they'd like to trade him if someone would want him. But, of course, you know, he doesn't have a great track record. He had a real nice stretch there for a while. I think 15 consecutive scoreless appearances until the other night. But, you know, they're not going to get much for him. Avi, they could get something for. But, you know, they don't have to trade him right now. And as he reminded us yesterday, he's only 27. It seems like he's been around forever, but and he is red hot now. So you would think that, you know, they could really, if you're going to trade him, this would be the time. But I don't think that they're like, you know, actively, you know, trying to dump him right now. But he's probably their best piece, I would say, at this point.
Paul Sullivan of the Tribune doing a great job covering baseball, as per always, with the White Sox this weekend down in Houston. Sully, you know, you've covered Ricky Renteria. You've seen him on the north side and obviously now with the White Sox. Like, how would you describe, in your opinion, like his progression from then till now and how he's handling this team?
You know, it's hard to say because they're just so bad.
Right.
I mean, I don't know what he could do. I talked to A.J. Hinch about him before the game, and A.J., you know, worked with him back in San Diego when A.J. was assistant GM there and Ricky was a bench coach for Bud Black. And he was pretty impressed by the job he's done. He said, you know, they're playing really hard, and, you know, they do come back in games. They don't win them a lot, but the fact that they don't really, you know, just cash it in when they're down 5-0, 6-1, whatever it is, that does say something. But you know, it's just hard to imagine how long they can put up with all the losing. You know, it doesn't look like the rebuild is you know, going to turn around anytime soon. So you know, if they lose 100 this year, 100 next year, and, you know, after that, you know, you're looking at a guy that whose winning percentage, including the Cubs, is incredibly bad. I mean, how do you kind of justify keeping him? But, you know, that's just speculation. You know, maybe they'll turn it around next year and turn the corner. But at this point, it you know, with this roster, it doesn't seem possible.
Paul Sullivan, the most talented baseball writer in the world, visiting with At the Carm, and Harry for a little while longer, White Sox Weekly on WGN Radio, talking about turning it around. Last September, I thought Lucas Giolito was the guy, and this year, not so much. It's great when you have 54 strikeouts, unless you have the same number of walks. What do you expect from Giolito tomorrow and the rest of the way?
Well, I hate to say it, but probably more of the same. He's just doesn't seem to have a lot of confidence on the mound. You know, has a bad inning, and you know, he'll regroup for a while and then, you know, give it up again. So I don't know. I mean, it's his ERA is like at least run higher than the second worst guy. So that really says a lot right there. I really thought they would send him down like, you know, maybe a couple weeks ago, but obviously they're going to let him pitch it out. So I don't know how many teams would do that with a guy with those kind of numbers, but you know, that's what they're doing. So just going to have to grin and bear it, I guess.
Sully, the bases were loaded today with two outs in the sixth inning. And Matt Davidson bounced a single to right. And Avi was on second. There were two outs. And he didn't get a great jump. And he kind of just very casually went into third base. DJ talked about it on the broadcast. I'm curious if you noticed that, if it was discussed at all in the clubhouse after the game.
No, I think Avi, you know, coming off the hammy and all that, they're just not telling him to, you know, cut it loose. At
makes
this
sense.
Point,
yeah.
I mean, even when on a walk, when he was walking to second base, you would have thought it was going to take him an hour to get there. I mean, he is really not moving a whole lot. And no, you know, I maybe last year they would have sent him, I don't know. Was he was criticizing him or the coaches for the coach for not sending him?
More Avi and the I think it was. I want to make sure I have this right. I'm 99% certain it's DJ, but it could have been. I was watching the broadcast too on the TV. It could have been Steve Stone too, but I'm pretty sure DJ was saying that. You know, he kind of slowly went into third base. I don't know. You know,
I agree with that. Yeah, he wasn't moving very fast, but.
Oh, I mean, it was a minimal effort, but
yeah.
I think you bring up a good point that this is a guy that's coming back from injury. There's no point in him pushing himself and potentially putting him back on the DL. That would make no sense.
Not the biggest base running blunder the Sox made this week on the road. Don't you pinch run for Jose Abreu in Cincinnati the other night? That should have been a run scored instead of the end of an inning, don't you think?
Yeah, I agree with that, and definitely wouldn't have sent him on that one either. So, some of the base running decisions all year really kind of confusing. Yesterday, I think it was yesterday, it could have been Thursday, I'm all confused now, but Narvaez singled, and they sent him to second, and, you know, got thrown out there, which was seemed a little ridiculous, but you know, I guess you got to take some risks when you're 29 games under.
Nick Capper's a wild man at third base. I mean, you were getting sent when sometimes it makes sense, sometimes it doesn't. You're going.
Is Nick Capper the loneliest man in baseball?
I don't know. That's a good question. I'd have to go over the stats there.
One of the cool things Nick Capper does.
I mean, the Royals' third base coach is lonely too.
You know,
they're really awful. They make the White Sox look good.
Right, and you know what I look forward to on Sundays, Sully, is your baseball page and the Chicago Tribune, three up, three down. That is so solid. I love that. Want to give us a little tease? Any one item in particular we can look forward to tomorrow?
Yeah, I don't know if I have to tease it anymore since they like released the stuff. It's Wednesday and Thursday now on the online, but I've got a piece on kind of my own theories on what they should do. I want them to get rid of Tampa Bay and Florida and realign, go to a 28 team game and two divisions in each league, get rid of the DH, or no, get rid of, what was it? Interleague play. That was one of them, and there's another one on kind of a notebook on Davey Martinez and the Nats and how bad they're playing. And,
you just so, went, wait, hold up. Major League Baseball, they're going to add two teams to get to 32, and you got the Paul Sullivan 28 plan? Do you think there's any chance?
Oh, no, no, no. I know there's no chance. Okay. It's just my own theory that, you know, why would you add two teams when you have two franchises that draw so poorly year after year and don't know how to market their teams? And, you know, it's just ridiculous. You shouldn't be adding. And there's just not enough good players in baseball. There's, I think that's part of the reason for the lack of offense is there's just not enough good hitters to fill out 30 teams.
If you break up Tampa Bay, I want Snell to come to Chicago.
You want who to come?
Snell.
Oh, Snell?
Yeah.
Yeah, that wouldn't be bad. Yeah. He'll probably be an all-star.
I would think so. With Brayu, they're going to be teammates.
Break up the Rays. So,
well, what do you guys think of the Sox team here? I mean, is there any hope for, you know, them attending in 3 years?
I think this is all going at least remotely to plan here. You got nine guys in the top 100. I mean, the downers this year is you'd like to...
But a lot of them are injured.
Yeah, okay, but, I mean, it's not a long-term injury. You know, Luis Robert's going to be fine. Jimenez will be fine. Jake Berger, that's more of a concern, obviously.
Yeah, it's only, for me, it's like when when I was in my 20s and I helped all my friends move because I knew there'd be a day in the future when I would need their help for my move, okay?
Yeah.
The White Sox, the White Sox will be coming. It's just going to be a few years. So, you know, when they blow a game, Friday night I wanted them to beat the world champions, but they did, or Thursday night, but they didn't. You know, it's we all know what the plan is. Plan is,
right,
3 years from now matters.
And I, you know, you look at the team right now, and how many guys on the roster will be there when they're good? It's a very thin list. Will Jose Abreu be here? I would think the answer to that is yes. Will Yoan Moncada be here? I would think the answer to that would be yes. Tim Anderson, maybe, probably in the outfield. You know, it's a Yolmer. I think has a chance.
He's
a good
Lucas.
But probably I would bet on the outfield. Probably none of them. I wouldn't think. And and the bullpen. That's
Reynaldo. Ronaldo, yes.
Right.
Ronaldo, yes. I mean, so that's like, what, three or four guys? I mean, how many of the prospects are going to still be here? Maybe three?
I would say more.
So,
I mean, there's so many guys coming. None of that's necessarily bad. Like, you know, whatever. Adam Engel could be a fourth or fifth outfielder, same one, or Charlie Tilson, one of the two.
No,
somebody's got to be a fifth outfielder. I'm just looking. I'm on a fifth outfielder. That I'm not. I'm not saying.
I'm looking at 18 guys in the minors and thinking that there's going to be a day when they bring the brigade.
Well, okay. I hope so.
I hope so too,
Sully. Let's talk soon. Appreciate your time.
Okay, guys.
Paul Sullivan Tribune down and still sitting at Minute Maid Park. There, you can hear the. The blower's going. All right, quick time out. We're going to get our guy Frankie O on here. That is next on 720 WGN. An important message from Frankie O. White Sox Weekly, 720 WGN. Mark Carmen, Harry Kainowitz with you till 9. After 8:30, Omar Vizquel, manager of the Winston-Salem Dash and future Hall of Famer, will be with us. Harry, we got a special guest on the line.
Yeah, one of my favorite places to dine in the city is at the bar at Harry Carey's, the original Harry Carey's. I'm talking about Kinsey and Dearborn, and the best bartender in the world.
No doubt.
Resides there. That's Frankie O. Frankie O, you've been there, what, about 18 years, son?
24, Harry.
24?
Like 24 years. It's hard to believe.
It is
never part of the plan. I moved to Chicago. I walked in the door. They hired me for whatever reason, and I could never get out. I feel at home here, and I love what I do.
That's ridiculous, 18 years, and it's really 24. I thought 18 years was a lot. So Frankie O is someone who's always got a smile on his face. Everybody loves going there. He was one of Harry's favorites when Harry was still with us. And I got to go a few years ago to a Sox game and sit in the bleachers with Frankie O and a bunch of people and make a difference. And now Frankie O is joining us on WGN. Welcome to White Sox Weekly, Frankie O.
Thank you.
And tell us about Ben's Night Out, because I know that the White Sox are also helping raising money for this wonderful cause.
Absolutely. About 15 years ago, my son was born. He was born with a very rare disorder, so rare that it took three hospitals to figure it out. For us personally, it was a very difficult time, my wife and I, to figure out what was going on with my son. So eventually when we got to Northwestern, we found out he had epidermolytic hyperkeratosis. Say that a couple times, but it's a skin disorder in a family under the tree called ichthyosis. So it turns from a skin fragility disorder to a skin hardening disorder. And that's what ichthyosis is. So maybe like dry, scaly skin a lot of these kids have. So kind of like psoriasis times 10. When Ben was born, it was a very isolating time, I guess, because it's so rare. You didn't have a lot of resources at that time. To reach out to someone or have somebody explain to you what you were going through. And it was in that time that we found this doctor, Dr. Powler at Northwestern, and also the Foundation for Ichthyosis and Related Skin Types, the acronym FIRST. The people at FIRST are really good at providing a community for folks affected by these disorders. We raise money for research. We raise money to educate doctors to go into different areas to help people with, you know, a lot of these people sometimes live in areas where they don't know what type of disorder they have, that kind of stuff. And then, the thing for me really right now is a sense of community. When Ben was born, like I said, I can't explain how difficult that time was. And we didn't really have that opportunity for someone to right away, another family to reach out and tell us, hey, this is what your son has. It's going to be okay. You're going to be all right. You know, it's going to be a rough road, but everything will work out fine. And due to these folks at FIRST that we've been able to meet, it has worked out fine for us. I mean, Ben has issues, but, you know, a lot of kids have issues. But we try to do everything we can now to give back to this organization. And because it's so rare, it's like a lot of other things out there. It depends very much on grassroots. On individuals helping raise money, whatever amount that is. And for me, I love baseball. I love the Sox. I reached out to the White Sox several years ago. They reached back, specifically Nick Fetchick, Chris Quintana. They've been awesome. So it's really cool that what we've been able to organize is if you go out to the ballpark, you buy a ticket through me, $10 is going to go to the FIRST Foundation. We all sit in the bleachers because I love sitting out there. That's where my son loves sitting. So we watch the game. A lot of parents mill around and talk. But just going to a ball game, by doing that, you're raising money for a great cause.
That's awesome. And, again, the date is August the 1st, 7:10 game. It's a Wednesday night. Come on, enjoy your summer. Check out a White Sox baseball game, and $10 is going to go to a great cause here for every ticket sold. And hang out in the bleachers with Frankie O.
And Frankie O, what is the website? If they want to reach you, they want to buy the tickets.
Right.
Where do we tell them to go?
Well, we go www.firstskinfoundation.org. So that is the website, and you will go in there, and you go into events, and they will direct you. And then, if you want to send a text, the number is 708-205-7726. And if you're still not sure, then, hey, you know what? Come into the bar at Harry Carey's. All the bartenders know about the event. Half of them will be there. And then we can. I have tickets on me every day, so we can do it right there. So it's that easy. It's low-key. Like I said, it's a fun time. And, again, Harry Carey's is also a big partner in this. So if you come into Harry Carey's behind the bar, anybody there can point you in the right direction.
Text line is 708-205-7726 if you want to deal with Frankie directly here, or at least a good ticket.
Absolutely. I have all the time in the world for that.
What an excuse to go into Harry Carey's. I'm in. You'll see me there. Put me down. I got my $25.
No chips.
Absolutely.
No chips. I eat too many chips whenever I go.
You know, I was going to bring a bag of chips. In fact, I've been enticing people with the chips because they like I don't know whether they come in for the chips or me. So I'm also telling people, hey, I'm going to bring some chips with just in case. So I'm covering my bases there.
Frankie, you're the best, and super vulnerable what you're doing, raising money for your son. So congratulations on that. I hope you have a ton of people come out there on the first.
And we'll continue.
Everybody's great. It's like I said, I can't say enough about what good partners the White Sox are. Like I said, when you do something like this, you learn a bunch of things. I've learned how positive people are, how responsive people are to something. And again, it's a large part due to the White Sox. We're doing something we love that my son loves. And just by doing that, we're raising money. So it's very, very cool.
What Christine O'Reilly and her group do there with White Sox Charities is outstanding.
Yes.
And we'll continue to mention this on our show every Saturday until the August 1st night against the Royals.
You guys are awesome. I appreciate it.
Go first.
Thanks, Frankie O.
Go Sox.
All right, Frankie O with us for a great cause. August 1st coming up. We'll mention the website again coming on back here. I'll get you in the news, 720 WGN.
It's great to be back with WGN.
It's White Sox Weekly on the official radio station of the Chicago White Sox, 720 WGN.
White Sox Weekly, indeed, till the top of the hour. We're about to talk to the manager of the Winston-Salem Dash, who's going to be a Hall of Famer, Omar Vizquel, 11-time Gold Glove winner, doing a great job in his first season, Harry Tynowitz, as manager of the Dash, who continue to roll. Actually, we'll give you an update on their scoring a little bit here. And thanks again to Frankie O for coming on. Once again, the website, www.firstskinfoundation.org. If you want to come out to a White Sox game and donate a little money for a good cause, $25 for a ticket, $10 goes to the charity, which is for a skin disease that his son has. August 1st, the game at Guaranteed Rate Field, 7:10, first pitch. And a reminder as well, head to the park on Sunday, July 15th, as the Sox take on the Royals at 1:10 p.m. All kids ages 13 and under will take home a play ball pitch grip baseball to teach them how to properly throw the most common major league pitches. So you get the ball, shows you how to throw the curve, the slider, the fastball, all that. Purchase tickets, visit whitesox.com today.
Can we get one of those to Bruce Rondon?
That's rude, but not a bad idea. A bad thought.
Hey, this is awesome. Marvel Superhero Night is coming to the park Saturday, July 28th. Your White Sox take on the Blue Jays at 6:10. If you're one of the first 12,000 fans, you get to take home a White Sox Iron Man bobblehead. How cool is that? Get your tickets at whitesox.com today.
All right, let's bring in our guy, Omar Vizquel, managing the Winston-Salem Dash. He was major leaguer well into his 40s, 20-plus years in the big leagues. And then he was a coach with the Tigers, but he wants to be a manager. So, Omar, how does it feel to finally be actually called a manager?
Well, in my career, I was expecting somehow, sometime, people calling me like that. You know, I've been preparing for this job for my last 5 years. And right now, I have the opportunity to do it with the Winston-Salem Dash, a team that is... It's been exciting this year with all the new players that we have and all the new prospects and everything that the White Sox did during the last couple of years. I think it's showing up right now. We got some great prospects, and it's a pleasure to work with these guys.
When they called you for the job, Omar, did you have to think about it long and hard, or were you almost immediately, yes, I want to do this?
Yeah, immediately. I have to think it about 10 minutes, and then I call the very same afternoon, and I decided to do it. I thought it was a pretty good thing going here with the White Sox and the opportunity that we have to show these guys to play the game the right way and, you know, just be part of this destiny, this bright future that we have here. I think it was really exciting.
And I think everybody romances the big leagues as they should, but I'm just curious, do you enjoy what you're doing now as a manager more than being a coach on the big league level, which you did with the Detroit Tigers?
Yeah, I think when you manage, you have a little bit more control over the things that you want to do over the guys and, you know, the final decisions that you have over the game. I think it's a little bit more excited of being a coach in first base or third base. And, you know, now I have the opportunity to do that. And I love it. You know, I love what I'm doing right now. The fact that I'm still standing in third base giving the sign, but the whole game is going through your mind so quick, you don't have to give the sign to somebody else to refer it to a different guy. So you do it straight. You're thinking along the lines all the time, and you can make those decisions a lot more quicker.
Is it harder or maybe easier than you thought it would be going in?
Well, I think when you prepare, you don't find things pretty hard. You just, you know, see it as a normal, as a regular thing. Be ready. When I think when you're ready, you don't have to go through those question marks and have any doubts.
There are 29 players in the history of baseball who played in four decades. Omar Vizquel, the manager of the Chicago White Sox's Winston-Salem Dash Class A team, is one of them. He's with us right now. Omar, what do you give credit to as far as your longevity in the game playing into your mid-40s?
I think the fact that I took the gym and my exercise real serious. To play shortstop, you have to be able to move side to side, straight forward, and come back and be really quick in your movement. And I think the fact that I took care of myself and stay away from alcohol and you know, just stay flexible throughout my career, I think it helped me out to play for a long time.
So you were doing like yoga and Pilates before some of your teammates were, perhaps?
Well, I tried that. Not that I love it, but you know, you find ways to keep your body in shape. Like I said, to stay quick and agile.
Yeah. Well, I don't think anybody loves it except for the people that love it. I don't love it, but I try to do it every now and then. Good. You got to try out what works, I guess. Well, can you? I'm reading about how your players just love playing for you, and they have so much respect for you because of what you've done in the game. And I read something about your Anaconda story, which you have shared with the team. Can you tell us that story?
Well, you know, there is a lot of things that go on sometimes when there is a rain delay and the preparation of players, ways that you can motivate them. And, you know, one of the videos that I had on my computer has to do with catching this Anaconda when I was in vacation in Venezuela. You know, I thought that I would show it to the guys and they would get a kick out of it. They really enjoy it. They talk about the fact that, you know, a 10-foot or 12-foot snake is around your leg and all of a sudden you catch it with your hand. So it was something exciting that you do in the off season and, you know, something that you just talk about it with the guys.
So you were in the jungle and an anaconda walked up on you? How'd that work?
No, we look for it. There is little signs that you can pick up from birds or like when the water is still or something like that. You read those signs almost like a baseball game, and then you kind of find the snake.
Why would you want to, quote-unquote, find the snake? I would not want to do that, Omar. Maybe I'm just less of a man than you.
Well, I always have this fear for snakes, and I think the best way to face your own fears is to go face-to-face with it. And, you know, I have the opportunity to do that in the jungle. And I love the challenge, and, you know, I was scared, to tell you the truth. I was shaking a little bit, but once you get it, it's just something that you can scratch out of your list.
That's super interesting, and I'm wondering if that mentality right there, facing your fears, is one of the reasons why you were so successful at baseball, right? Because there's always tons of fears. Oh, my God, I'm facing this pitcher who throws 98 miles an hour, and he's got a wicked slider, too. I mean, do you think that mentality helped you be as successful as you were in the game?
Yeah, I think so. You know, I always like challenges. I always like to go against the current, I guess, you know, and I think that helped me out to stay in baseball for a long time. I like to think a little bit different, and that's the way that I face life, I think, every day. You know, not only in baseball, you can do that with your family. You can do that with, you know, things that are outside your control sometimes, and that's the way that I take on life.
All right, let's talk about – that's awesome. Let's talk about some of these Winston-Salem Dash that you are managing. And in this case, I'll start with Joel Booker, who you did manage. He's been promoted to Double-A. But he was the White Sox minor league player of the month this past month, Omar. I'm sure you know that. What do you see – here's a guy who was a later-round draft pick, went to college, and now he's making his way through the minors. What do you see in Joel?
Well, I see a really exciting player, explosive when he's on the bases. I don't think people really rank it too high on the prospect list, but he really surprising everybody the way that he takes the fields every day. He hustles. He loves to play the game. And, you know, he has been improving a lot since last year, from what I understand from other people that saw him play. So I'm really excited that I had him on my team. I have the pleasure to hit him in the leadoff spot all the time because of his speed. But he can bring something else to the table. His abilities to hit the ball to all over the field, and he can make some exciting plays on the field. So, you know, I love the guy, and I wish him luck. So maybe you can see him in the big league pretty soon.
If you had to name one guy that, hey, I know this guy is going to be in the big leagues, and I think he's going to be successful, who jumps to mind for you?
Well, right away, I will have to mention Luis Roberts. Luis Roberts, like everybody knows, a Cuban guy that gets signed last year. His abilities are really, really good. He seems to have everything possible to make it to the big league, and he's going to bring a lot of excitement to a baseball team. Doesn't matter where he's at.
Okay, and he his injury stuff right now, what's the expectation there as far as getting him back on the field?
Well, we're still waiting for his medical report. From what I understand, he still has to be off for the next 2 weeks, and maybe on the third week start swinging the bat a little bit to see how his finger is doing. Mm-hmm. But we have to play it by ear. We're not going to assume that he's going to be back. We're just going to take it easy with him.
Yeah, makes sense. Dylan Cease, and now also promoted. He was actually, I think, supposed to be with you all year, but he just was that dominant, so they moved him up. What were your impressions of Dylan?
Awesome. Dylan came here, and he was dealing, and he was dominating the league. Everybody knows how hard he throw. He can throw up in the 98, 99, even after 80, 90 pitches. And, you know, the things that we were watching was his secondary stuff. How's his breaking ball, his changeup, a little bit of a slider that he has. How is that going to be in single A? I mean, he did a good job mixing up his pitches. You know, he did good. He did. He was like 9-2 when he left here. He made the All-Star game, and I think he was a very deserving going up to the double A. And let's see how he does there. But there is absolutely no doubt that he's going to be a big leaguer pretty soon.
Five innings last night, pretty impressive from Dylan Cease up at Double A. Omar, let's continue the conversation in a second. 720 WGN. Yeah, let's bring Omar back in here. And Omar, you played in the steroid era. You might not have known it at the time. I'm kind of wondering if you did when you saw these guys bulking up. Did you know what was going on?
Yeah, sometimes you see guys gaining 20 pounds, 15 pounds after you see them in a season, just, you know, skinny bodies. And then all of a sudden, they got all these huge bodies. It was really weird to see. Yeah. I didn't know what they were doing at the time, but obviously later we noticed what was happening.
Yeah, yeah. So you think they should, if they're in, there should sort of be like an asterisk around their name.
Yeah, I mean, no doubt. If you're in a black list, I don't know who is on that list. I know there is about 100 players that they were talking about that were on the list and all that.
Yeah,
you know, they know who they are.
Yes, they do. All right, just a couple more. I know you got a ton going on. I appreciate the time right now. I've been paying attention to Tequan Forbes, Omar. I do the White Sox post game show, and I'm always checking out the minor leagues every night. And here's a guy who the White Sox got at the waiver deadline last year, and he hadn't hit, and he's hitting this year, and he seems to be getting better and better and better as the season goes along. How's he done that?
Well, he's doing a great job working out with Cipo, with Charlie Paul, who is a hitting instructor here. He's really trying to go day by day making adjustment on his swing. And he still needs to work a little bit more on breaking balls. I think he chased a lot of breaking balls down out of the strike zone. And he's cutting in a lot of mistakes. And when you cut down on those mistakes, I think you can see difference here and there. And he's been doing great for us right here in Winston-Salem. He can play a little bit of second baseman. He's playing shortstop. He's playing third base. But his swing's always been there. He got some power. And like I said, he has to learn a little bit more, be more patient at the plate, but he's doing really good.
How much does it help you, by the way, being bilingual as a manager? They made a big deal with Ricky Renteria, the White Sox manager, that he can speak to everybody on the team. Have you found that that's been a big help for you?
Yeah, man, it's a huge advantage. You know, you got the opportunity to talk to guys that maybe they can handle the English that well, like Luis Robert Case, maybe Luis Basabe, Luis Martinez, some of these guys, Irizarry, that we have here, that maybe they feel a little shy or they don't understand them because they can't speak the language. And I think, you know, we have been talking to them a lot about how important it is for them to try to learn the language, because it's not the same when somebody else is giving you an instruction that you understand in your way, or the things that you want to say your way, instead of telling a translator to do it for you. So, you know, this way we can understand what they're saying, and I think it's a good thing for anybody to try to speak both languages, especially in baseball right now, where there is so many intercultural people coming out of America.
And you, when you came to the minors, did you know the language out of Venezuela?
No, I didn't. I have to learn it. I have to learn it in school. I went back to Venezuela and I took some English classes and I learned it a little bit. And then later on in my career, of course, I married an American woman, so my English got better after that.
So on the home front, that will speed things along, huh?
That would speed it up real quick.
Did a coach tell you, hey, Omar, take English classes, it'll help you, or did you do that on your own?
No, you got to do it on your own. I didn't like the way that, you know, the people were coming to me and giving some instructions, and sometimes I couldn't understand what the coaches were saying. So in order for me to improve my game, I needed to speak the language, and that's the way I did it.
Yeah, you're a smart man. So sometimes I'll watch pitching coaches come out, and they're talking to guys who, at least when they speak to the media, they always have a translator. And I'm wondering, how do you understand what he's saying? Maybe they know the language, but have you been in that situation where there's a reliever and you're out there and the whole infield's there, and you know the guy's not comprehending it, and you have to translate it yourself?
Yeah, we have been. I mean, we find ourselves in those situations often when the coach go talk to a Spanish pitcher or vice versa. Yeah. And, you know, sometimes there is no information that is left behind, and we still got to come through and tell them.
Yeah, yeah. So the goal here, by the way, is to do the best job as possible, obviously, but you want to be a major league manager someday, right?
Well, that's the goal, man. You know, we're all here for a reason. I think that ever since I retired, I want to do that. And, you know, I'm going to look for every opportunity and try to find myself an opening, so maybe I can get an interview with a major league team to see if I can do that.
You think you're ready?
I think I am. I'm waiting for that chance right now.
I'd hire you, Omar. I don't have the power, but just so you know, I'd hire you all day.
Thank you, my buddy.
Omar Vizquel, the conversation we had a little bit earlier. I'm a big fan. Big, big fan, Harry.
How can you not be?
That guy deserves a chance.
Maybe next time you let me ask a question.
Next time, it's all you. I'll just sit back and listen. All right, mm-hmm. Let's get our final timeout in here, get you into news, and say goodbye, 720 WGN.